Let us read it for our preparation. Certainly, I think the psalmist, David, encapsulates what should be our desire as we have gathered and are gathered here to hear from the Lord, that we want him to teach us and lead and guide us in life. That's what the Word of God will do, and that's what God will do for us. By way of the Word of God is lead us as he teaches us. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Amen. The word of the Lord for the people of God, the word is blessed. You may be seated. Father, we thank you for allowing us the privilege of being present in this place. And then, Lord, manifesting your presence among us, for truly you are faithful and trustworthy, that you said in your word that wherever two or three are gathered in your name, you are in the midst. So, Lord, we thank you for being with us and among us, and we pray for the manifestation of your presence. Lord, I decrease, you increase. Speak, Lord, and we will hear and do. Lord, to bring pleasure to your heart, Lord, and when you're pleased, you're blessed. There's still blessings in obedience. And Lord, the word that you share with us tonight, we pray, Lord, that our hearts be receptive, Lord, and our lives will be lived accordingly. In Jesus' name. Forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness, that we'll be fit vessels to be used by you. And when you would have finished with us, you'll still be God, having all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. John chapter 15. John chapter 16. And I like to read John 14, 15, and 16 for the purpose of our study, that we are dealing with the Holy Spirit. And in particular, we have been dealing with the Holy Spirit as a person. That he is a person. And he is a person because he has a personality. He has feelings. He can think. He can act. He can hear. He can speak. He's a person. We said that he's the third person of the Godhead because he is from the Father through the Son. And Jesus gave the promise of his Spirit being in us by way of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 1 when they were looking, gazing. And then they asked if it was time for the kingdom to be restored unto Israel. And Jesus said, it is not for you to know the season, the time of restoration of the kingdom, but while you wait and anticipate my second coming, I'm going to empower you. I'm sending unto you the Holy Spirit so that you will be my witnesses, that he has given us not only work to do by way of witnessing, but he has equipped us, that no child of God, no born-again believer saved, sanctified and filled and sealed is without power, that all of us have power to do what he has commanded us to do. He has conditioned us spiritually to carry out the great commission, the mandate that he has upon our lives. And so we thank God for the promise. I like to read John 14, verse 26, John 15, verse 26, and John 16, verses 12 and 13. John 14, 26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. John 15, 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. So he's not the spirit of error. He's the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, will not lead you in the way of a lie. Amen. Nor will he influence you to lie. He's the Spirit of truth. He leads you in the path of truth. He leads you according to the Word of God. The Word of God is the truth of God. Jesus Christ is the truth of God. He declared that he is the truth, the truth. So the Holy Spirit's function is to lead you in the truth. So he's not the spirit of error. He's not the spirit of error. So notice, again in verse 26, that even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Now, 16, chapter 16 of John. Let's look at verses 13 and 14 instead of 12 and 13. Let's look at 13 and 14. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you. Listen to that. Guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. So we see the person of the Holy Spirit, and the purpose, the function of the Holy Spirit is to give us communion with the Father, but then he is to lead us in truth, guide us. We are able to fulfill the mandate that God has upon our lives because the Holy Spirit is the paraclete. He is our helper. Now, I'm going to deal with it more in depth in a minute, but he's our helper. You cannot do the things of God on your own. Matter of fact, you cannot obey God on your own. You need help. Amen. You need help, and God gives us help. He has given us help by way of sending unto us the Holy Spirit to be in us, to indwell us. Amen. Tonight, I want to deal with personal fellowship with the Holy Spirit and the results of personal fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Now, I have seven results that comes from personal fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And I don't think I'll cover all seven tonight, but, you know, I'm going to share with you what time allows me to share with you. And I pray that you get it, because I want you to be blessed and experience the results of personal fellowship, personal intimacy, personal communion with the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit comes into our lives as a person, not as an experience only. I want you to really think on what I just said. That he come to us as a person and not as an experience only. Because most people who claim to have communion with the Holy Spirit only claim communion when they are experiencing a certain emotion or feeling. Amen. That he's more than just an experience. He does more for you than make you happy on Sunday. That all dealings of the Holy Spirit and shared experiences of the Holy Spirit don't make you shout. Because when you read the Word of God, the Holy Spirit convicts. So he's a person, not just an experience. I want y'all to get this now. Because if you're going to commune with, I don't want you to think that is only when you feel a certain way. All right. I need you to know that he's the third person of the Godhead, but there should be a constant, consistent, continual communing with, that he's with you even when you don't feel that certain emotion or experience. That the word of Christ is true. I'll never leave you. I'm with you always. And he's with us in spirit. That the Holy Spirit is in us. So the person, he comes into our lives as a person, not as an experience only. That getting to know the Holy Spirit requires spending time with him, listen here, allowing him to talk to us. Now, Sunday, I talked about the sovereign presence of the Holy Spirit. And I should have brought up Sunday, and I didn't, but I should have brought up Sunday, you know, that we love to talk to. But talking to gives us this notion that we can control an order. That we talk to, you know, but we don't spend a whole lot of time listening. Matter of fact, a lot of us are not disciplined enough to listen, not determined and dedicated to listen to the Spirit speak. Now, everything you imagine is not the Spirit speaking. You know, I just have to talk about that. Everything you imagine, everything you think, even things that seem to be good, may be good but not godly. So you can't be driven by your emotions when you are communing with or desiring to commune with the Holy Spirit. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to commune with you and conversate with you. So you have to allow him to talk to you. You have to have spiritual ears. Jesus talks about the necessity of having spiritual ears. Matter of fact, in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, it deals with seven churches of Asia Minor, and he closes out, or he salutates, he ends with the same saying, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. So if you're going to hear from God, you have to have spiritual ears. That the Spirit of God does not speak in carnal language. Oh, that you have to have spiritual ears, ears that's sensitive to the voice of God, so that the Spirit can talk to you and you will hear the instructions of the Spirit if you're going to live your life pleasing unto God. Now, we live in a day where many voices are speaking. And sometimes we get confused with, you know, the voices and hearing the voices. That everything that you hear that sounds good doesn't make it spiritual. Ooh. And so you have to know the person of the Holy Spirit. Have sensitive ears to hear the Spirit speaks. Listen, he talks with us. So spending time with the Holy Spirit means fellowship with him. So you need to settle down. Settle down, settle down, settle down, settle down. You know, before you just jump into the Bible, reading the Bible, you really need to settle yourself, pray, and ask God to speak so you receive revelation. That the Bible is not you just reading a book. It's you reading the book. That's why it's called the Bible. You hadn't purchased a Bible that says a Bible. It says the Holy Bible. So you need to be settled. You need to be settled. So you don't just jump in, you know, just go through, you know, the routine of reading and so-called studying the Word of God. No, you need to be settled down, and so you pray, and then you ask the Spirit to speak. So the Word of God will leap off the pages and speak. Now, that's figuratively now. You know, if the Word jumps off the pages, you're going to run out of your study place. But I'm just figuratively speaking that is going to be made alive to you. That when you look into it, you'll see what you need to see. And you will hear what you need to hear. Laffy, Lavinian, said fellowship with the Holy Spirit was brought into existence on the day of Pentecost, when believers received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, so we received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it happened first on Pentecost as the believers were together. So fellowship with the Holy Spirit is fellowship on a level, it's on a level distinct from all other fellowships. Hear that now, that is not the same. It's distinct from other fellowships. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit is different from fellowship with family and friends. You can get together with family and friends and never be close. You can be in the same place at the same time and call it fellowship, have conversations, not be in agreement, call it fellowship. But when you talk about fellowship, different from family and friend fellowship, it is a more intimate and intentional fellowship that God has purpose for the fellowship and communing with the Holy Spirit. God is doing something supernatural in your life as you fellowship with the Holy Spirit. God is preparing you for something supernatural when there's fellowship with the Holy Spirit. God is even protecting you when there's fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to get into this in a minute, because I want you to know just how deep this fellowship is. And the protection of God. Oh, my God. I want to tell it now because it was so good in my study. What God is doing. It's intentional. Intentional. God never does anything without purpose of doing it. You know, sometimes we can do that, don't have an idea of why we're doing, why we came, why we said, why we heard what we heard, and so forth, so on, because we can do things without intention. You know, matter of fact, church today, and I'm just speaking in general now about church, we are so unintentional. Most of the time we come to worship, don't have a bit of intention. Do you come to church intending to get happy? Do you come to church intending to hear from God? Do you come to church intending to commune and fellowship with the Holy Spirit? Do you come to church intending to give God your best in what God has gifted you to do? When you leave church, do you have intention? Do you intend to carry out what you heard? See, God never does anything without intention. And he wants us to be intentional. So communing with the Holy Spirit, fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, is intimate and intentional. That God is saying something, equipping us to do something every time we commune with and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, every time we come together tonight, God has intentions for tonight. That we're not here out of routine and ritual because it's Tuesday night. No, it's deeper than that for me. I'm intending to have me an encounter with God. Well, I want to have me an epiphany. I want to have a one-on-one with God. I want to be empowered by God because I got some enemies. I want to hear God. I want to be enlisted into his service because I want to bring pleasure to his heart. I want to have a run-in with God. My intention is not just to be the Bible study teacher tonight, that I want to see lives transformed by the word of God. And as I watch God work with you, I look in the mirror of my own life to see him work in me. Hallelujah. Intention. So we have fellowship. We have fellowship. So fellowship created by the Holy Spirit is sustained and directed by the Holy Spirit. It is a unique fellowship. It is not like any other fellowship. It's a unique fellowship. Now let me deal with a few of the results. The results of personal fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Number one, there's victory over sin. There's victory over sin. The power of victory over sin is within us. Here's the problem. We don't rely on the Spirit or the power within us. We rely more on our own ability. Now, I shared with us a few weeks ago, there's a difference in quitting something and being delivered. See, when you say you quit something, you're saying you overcame it by your own power. I quit. But one thing you can't say is, I delivered myself. See, when you speak of deliverance, then you are speaking of God's power that has helped you to overcome. But when you speak of quitting something, you then speak of your mental strength, physical strength, social strength, economic strength, and it just goes on and on. And what you end up doing is giving yourself the credit for it. But now, one thing you have to admit is that sin is such a problem that you cannot overcome sin on your own. Amen. Now, let me see, can I help us? Because, you know, some of us tend to think, you know, we have overcome sin on our own. That's why, you know, we kind of look down our pious nose at other folk. And because, you know, we don't smoke no more and we don't drink no more and we don't do this and do that anymore. And those who are still caught up in it, you know, we kind of give ourselves a special category and we kind of see ourselves in a better way and in a brighter light. But we can't overcome sin on our own. And so when sin is strong, that we have to acknowledge that we can't overcome sin on our own. So it puts the light of glory on God and not on us. That we have to have some help. We have to have some help. Now, this power is in us, but it's not our own power. It's in us, but it's not our own power. Listen to Paul in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. So it's God who's working. It's God who gives the ability to overcome sin. But he does it through the power that he has placed in us. So, biblically, I'm already strong enough to overcome. So the question is, why am I overcame? By sin. Why does sin overcome me? It's when I depend on my own ability. And I don't rely on, depend on the power of God that's in me. So it's in us. Listen to this. The Holy Spirit is the power of God within us to overcome sin. Jesus calls the Holy Spirit our helper. John 15, 26, again, but when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. The Greek word used in reference to the Holy Spirit is parakletos, which means one who is called to one side to help. Parakletos. Parakletos also means intercessor, assistant, one who pleads the case of another before a judge. We have victory over sin because of the vast role of the Holy Spirit, the vast role of the Holy Spirit in us and in our lives, that he is comforter, counselor, helper, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, and standby. You hear this? Let me say that again. He is comforter, counselor, helper, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, and standby. Ooh. He's our helper. And I thank God for help. I thank God for holy help, divine help. So the Holy Spirit has a vast role in our lives. And we have to recognize how the Spirit works in our lives so that we don't quench the Spirit. The Spirit be trying to work in your life, and because you don't understand the Spirit's function, then you deny the Spirit that particular area of your life. And so you end up becoming overcome in your life because you are resisting the Spirit as an intercessor, as an advocate, as an helper, as a standby, as a counselor, as comfort. So you have to know. The reason God sent the Holy Spirit to you is to counsel you. Now, sometimes you ought to sit on your own couch. Cut off the TV. And let him counsel you. Y'all hear me? He's a counselor. He's able to regulate your mind. See, here's the battlefield, the battleground. See, this is where it takes place. In the mind. Satan rages war in the mind. See, he wants you to think you crazy. Walking around asking yourself questions and answering. Talking out loud, nobody else supposed to be in the room, but somebody else is in the room. And then when they say what, you say, well, I wasn't talking to you. Yeah, y'all in the house, y'all know what I'm talking about. Driving in the car by yourself. Having a full conversation. Don't mess around. Let somebody work on your last nerve at the wood. And you get off and you pretend the person in the car with you. Somebody say, I need the Holy Spirit to regulate my mind. He's a counselor. And he lets you go so far, and then he says, settle down. Get yourself together. And he'd take you to the Word of God and start counseling you with the Word of God. And when you read what he points out for you to read, it settles your mind. Boy, he's an intercessor. Bible says we don't even know what to pray. But he makes utterances for us that we cannot utter. And the Father hears him and blesses us according to his prayers or intercession for us. So you need to know the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit is trying to work in your life, you don't resist him. That you receive him as help. So as help, he helps you overcome sin. Because now, listen to this. When you get into a sin, the process is so swift and so fast that you don't even know it was a process. But the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, tried to catch you and deal with you when it was just a temptation. But you resisted him. You resisted him. And so you end up saying what you said and doing what you did because you resisted. But if you would have known him when he said to you and tried to stop you before the temptation went into being enticed and then conceived and then bringing forth sin, then sin brings forth death. Spirit tried to stop you. Know how to identify him in one of these areas here. Oh, my God. So he gives victory over sin. Let me deal with number two. The result of personal fellowship with the Holy Spirit is revelation of God's word. Revelation of God's word. That the Holy Spirit gives understanding of God's word. Now, I want you to highlight that. If you are studying the word of God without the help of God, you have no understanding. That's why you can get twisted up in your own study, self-study. That if you don't have help, and then listen to this, if you don't acknowledge the spiritual gift of leadership, you can get twisted up. You ever notice how twisted up people are who self-study only? You know, you kind of listen to me. What in the world did you get that from? How did that come out of? They studied without help. And since they self-studied, they self-interpret it. So revelation of God's word, you need the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. That word inspiration means breath of God, that God breathed on man and man penned. So man is not the author is God. Man penned what God spoke. Ooh. So it is not a man authored book. It is God's revelation unto man, penned by man, as God breathed on them. Now, if the word was inspired when it was penned, if God inspired man to pen it, to write it down, you will have to be inspired to understand it. If it took inspiration of God to pen it, to write it, it's going to take inspiration of God to understand it. Ooh, my. So this is not a book you can just pick up and start reading and understand it. You know, what understanding can you give, or what understanding can you get of tithing? That doesn't make carnal sense. You bring a tenth of what God has given you, and then God is going to open up the window and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive. That doesn't make sense. Matter of fact, what kind of sense can you make of worship? You're going to come in and lift up hands to a God you can't see? A God you can't feel? You know what to touch. You can't reach out and... It's in the spirit realm. What sense does that make carnally? See, people that are carnal can't understand the things of God. So it takes a spiritual birthing. You have to be born again. Born of the Spirit of God. To understand the Word of God. The manifestations of God and the movement of God. That's why people in the world think we're crazy. I mean, it's not just happening. I mean, when you read in Acts chapter 2, they said a man drunk. You know, what they doing don't make sense this early in the morning. Either they got a hangover or somebody then went down to the 7-Eleven and bought some whiskey or wine and they drunk. Don't make sense. You know, not carnally, but in the spirit realm, spiritually, it makes all the sense in the world. Because God has to unlock it. He has to uncover it. He has to make it known. Ooh. He has to reveal it to us. You know, the Old Testament is the word conceal. The New Testament is the word reveal. That's why Jesus says, I didn't come to destroy, but I came to give full meaning. I came to fulfill. Come to get do away with it. I just want you to understand what it means. You know, you hear people always arguing now about Old Testament, New Testament. Well, that's Old Testament. Well, you feel that way, just take a pair of scissors and cut the Old Testament out of your Bible. Since you're a New Testament scholar and you only believe in the New Testament, don't you know the Old Testament is there to be a tutor, a schoolmaster, to point you and to direct you to Christ? That there are many shadows of Christ in the Old? But see, if you carnal, you don't have the revelation. My God. But when you are spiritual, the Holy Spirit reveals the Word of God. He reveals. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Not comparing carnal things with spiritual, but spiritual things with spiritual. Listen, you trying to, you know, prove yourself and show yourself to people that are carnal, that will never understand you until they are born again. If they are not changed, if they are not converted, they don't understand your language. They don't understand your life because they only see it through carnal lenses. You can't compare carnal things with spiritual. The church is spiritual. Now, I want us to, you know, because, you know, we're becoming so carnal. You know, church today is becoming so carnal that if you don't look like and act like and talk like, you know, the world, you know, you're not drawing people. And we think we got to, you know, change and do all that kind of thing to draw people. But you can't compare carnal things with spiritual. You need revelation. You need revelation, especially nowadays when you hear so many voices. You need revelation from God of his word that this means this. God revealed this, uncover, so I can know it. So I don't be so easily persuaded and tossed and driven by every wind of doctrine. I need revelation. So it's the Holy Spirit that brings revelation of what God's word means. That as we read the word of God and as we pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help us understand what we read, the Holy Spirit will teach us what God is saying through Scripture. Jesus said in John 14, 26, but the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. He will teach you. So when you sit down over the word of God, know you in class. You in class. And the teacher is the Holy Spirit. And that should be your prayer. You know, that's why we often read out of Psalm 25 as a preparatory passage to help us know why we're here. We want God to do in our lives. We want him to lead us and reveal unto us his truth so we don't waste our time. Listen to this, and I'm done. Holy Spirit, as teacher, reveals the things of God to us. So he gives us victory over sin, but he also reveals, he uncovers the truth, the mystery, that if we're spiritual, he makes it known to us. We need revelation. We need revelation. We need God to reveal, the Holy Spirit to reveal to us truth. Listen, if truth is not revealed, you'll live your life according to lies. You'll be deceived. Satan has so many promises out there. You know, he has so many promises out there. And he deceives. You know, he told Jesus, you bow to me, I give you the kingdoms of the world. They weren't his to give. So he'll deceive you. And nowadays, we're just reaching and grabbing for everything. We want so much, you know, we got this appetite, insatiable appetite that we want so much. And so it's easy to deceive us. You know, you can twist it a little bit and we'll go for it because we're gullible. We're not truth seekers. I want to know the truth. You know, in knowing the truth, you won't have to keep repeating. Keep going on the same thing. Once truth is revealed, you got it. But as long as you deceive, you will be deceived even more, because the Bible says deceiving and being. So you're constantly deceived. But truth, once it revealed, it frees. I want to live a life of freedom, you know, being spiritually free. I want to live a life deceived, and I think I have something that I don't have. I think I'm doing something that I'm not doing. I think I'm going somewhere that I'm not going. Other night, I was talking with my sister, Pam, and her husband, Charlemark, and you know, they just thought that they would, you know, have a little fun with me. On the way up to Nashville for the Sunday School Publishing Board meeting. And I said, well, how far have y'all gotten? And they said, well, we are going through Detroit. I said, you mean to tell me you didn't drove that far and y'all didn't have no sense to know you had driven too long and too far? You in Detroit? And they were just laughing and going, I said, what's so funny? They said, we're in Detroit, Alabama. I said, all right. So when the truth was revealed, you know, I was deceived no more. I said, you're well up in Detroit, man. You done drove all them out 11 hours or so, and you have no sense to know you would. And he was just laughing. So, and I thought I would share that, because you can go through life like that, blind. You think you're going somewhere that you're not going. You can miss a turn in traveling, driving, and end up a whole long ways out of the way. And sometimes the highways don't have turnaround points. Ooh. You better thank God for the help of the Holy Spirit that He leads you in truth, and He gives you victory over sin. See, so we have help that we don't do the senseless life, an unproductive life, that my life is blessed because I heed the Holy Spirit. I want Him to speak. Any questions? Any questions? All right, let us stand and pray.